restlessness to restfulness. The fact that you sleep at night makes some difference between your mornings and evenings. What is making the difference is the level of relaxation that sleep brings. If you could remain relaxed while performing all the activity of the day, you would be about the same in the evening in terms of energy and enthusiasm as you were in the morning. If you wake up fresh, that is a good beginning. But slowly through the day, as your relaxation levels come down, you gradually start feeling stressed. Stress is not because of work. This is important to remember. Everybody thinks their job is stressful. No job is stressful. There are many jobs that could present challenging situations. There could be nasty bosses, insecure colleagues, emergency rooms, impossible deadlines, or you might even find yourself in the middle of a war zone. But these are not inherently stressful. It is your compulsive reaction to the situations in which we are placed that causes stress. Stress is a certain level of internal friction. One can easily lubricate the inner mechanism with some amount of inner work and awareness. So it is your inability to handle your own system that is stressing you out. On some level, you do not know how to handle your body, mind and emotions. That is the problem. How then do you keep your system free of stress so that you remain in the same level of enthusiasm, relaxation and happiness, whether it is morning or evening? An average person's pulse rate on an empty stomach would be in the 70s or even 80s. For a person doing the right type of meditative practice, you will find that the pulse rate would range between 30s and 40s. Even after a good lunch, it would stay in the 50s. This is just one parameter that indicates the level of restfulness that your body is experiencing moment to moment. Restfulness essentially defines the replenishing and rejuvenating capability of the body. You cannot slow down your system at the cost of activity. What is necessary is to keep your system in such a way that activity does not take its toll upon it. Maybe physically you get exhausted, but it need not stress you in any way. If you are capable of being vibrantly active and still relaxed, then it is worthwhile. If you start certain simple practices of yoga in 3 to 4 months' time, your pulse rate will drop at least 8 to 20 counts very easily. That means the body is running so much more efficiently and at a relaxed pace. What the body needs is not sleep, but restfulness. If you keep the body very relaxed through the day, your sleep quota will go down naturally. If your work and taking a walk or exercising are also relaxation for you, your sleep quota will drop even further. Right now, people want to do everything the hard way. I see people walking in the park in a state of tension. Whether you walk or jog, why can't it be done easily, joyfully? This exercise may be causing more harm to you than well-being because you are going at it as if you are going into your battle. Don't battle with life. You are not anti-life. You are life. Just get in tune with it. You will see that you will pass through it easily. Keeping yourself fit and well is not a battle. Do some activity that you enjoy. Play a game, swim, walk, run. If you don't like to do anything except eat cheesecake all day, then you have a problem. Otherwise, there is no incompatibility between being active and relaxed at the same time. How much sleep does your body need? It depends on the level of physical activity you are engaged in. There is no need to fix the quota of either food or sleep. To program the calories you must consume and the number of hours you must sleep is a foolish way to handle life. Let the body decide how much it should eat today, not you. Today, your activity levels are low, so you eat less. Tomorrow your activity is high, so you eat more. Similarly, with sleep, when you feel sufficiently relaxed, you come awake. The moment the body is rested, it will wake up. Whether it be at 3 or 4 or 8 o'clock, when it comes to food and sleep, your body is the best judge. If the body is at a certain level of alertness and awareness, you will see that once it is well rested, it will awaken. That is, if it is eager to come to life. If it is somehow trying to use the bed as a grave, then it is a problem. Keep the body in such a way that it is not longing to avoid or escape life. Maintain it in such a way that it is longing to come awake. Sadhana. If you sleep without a pillow or with a very low pillow which does not allow the spine to get pinched, the neurological regeneration of the brain and the cellular regeneration of the neurological system will be much better. If you sleep without a pillow, it is best to lie on your back in a supine position rather than on your side. Lying in this position is referred to in yoga as Shavasana. It enhances the purification and rejuvenation of the body, promotes the free flow of movement in energy system, bringing relaxation and vitality. But there is no reason to get dogmatic about this. At least in your sleep, don't take a position. Carnal to cosmic. Existence is a dance between the unmanifest and the manifest. The moment there is a manifestation, there is duality. Light and darkness, male and female, birth and death, and so on. Though unity is the basic fabric of creation, duality brings texture, design, and color to life. All the various manifestations that you see as life today are fundamentally rooted in duality. Because there are two, there are many. If there were only one, there would be no existence. Once there are two, the game of life begins. Once duality begins, sex begins. What we call as sex is just two parts of this duality striving to become one. In the process of these dualities meeting, there are also certain functions that nature wants to fulfill, like procreation and the survival of the species. All duality is striving for unity because what was once one has manifested itself as two. Now there is a perpetual longing to become one. This longing to become one finds expression in many ways. When you are young and your intelligence is hijacked by your hormones, sex will be the way. When you are middle-aged and your intelligence is hijacked by your emotions, love is the way. When you are old and you're bereft of hormonal mischief, prayer is the way. But irrespective of age, when you transcend all this and seek the same union in much higher level of awareness, then yoga is the way. If you are seeking oneness with the body, you need to remember that physical bodies will always remain two, no matter what you do. For a few moments, a sense of unity will happen, and then people fall apart. If divorce does not do it, death will. It is bound to happen. Sex is just two opposites making an attempt to become one. Your individuality means not only false boundaries that you have set up in your mental framework in the form of your preferences and dislikes, tastes and opinions. It also means you're trapped within the boundaries of your own physical body. You may not be consciously aware, but the life within you is longing to break these boundaries. When you want to break your mental boundaries, you may long to have a serious conversation, or read a book, drink alcohol, take a drug, or do something freaky. To break physical boundaries, you may want to pierce yourself, get a tattoo, dye your hair, or go the old-fashioned way of sex. The intention of sex is great, but the method is hopeless. Pleasure is involved, so it drives two people toward each other, but oneness comes only momentarily. So you try to meet in other areas of emotion and intellect. People are always trying to find common ground. We like the same ice cream, both of us are blonde, both of us play video games, share the same zodiac sign, and like the same TV shows. But unless you understand that you can never become one, you will not learn to enjoy the opposite. These two energies, which in the human race we call masculine and feminine, are always trying to come together. At the same time, except for this longing to be together, they are opposites. They are lovers and enemies at the same time. If they look for similarities, there seems to be little common ground, but the attraction of the opposite is always there. A lot of people cannot face the basic physical act as it is, so they have invented all kinds of decorations around it to make it beautiful. You always add emotion to it, because without emotion, it would seem ugly. In some way, you're trying to cloud your vision of reality with lots of decorations. Sex is natural. It is there in the body. Sexuality is something you invented. It is psychological. If sex is in the body, it is fine, it is beautiful. The moment it enters your mind, it becomes a perversion. It has no business with your mind. Sex is a small aspect of you, but today it has become huge. For many, it has become life itself. If you look at modern societies, you would say probably 90% of human energy is being spent either pursuing or avoiding sex. Sex is just nature's trick to reproduce. If this attraction of opposites did not exist, the species would become extinct. But now we have made such a distinction between man and woman, almost as if they are two separate species. No other creature on the planet has the kind of problems with sex that humans have. With animals, the urge is present in their body at certain times, otherwise they are free from it. With humans, it is on their minds all the time. One reason that this has happened is that in the past, many religions went about denying a simple physical process to the extent of making it sinful. Because we could not even accept the biology of a human being, instead of looking beyond the limitations of the biological process, we tried to deny it. If we had no problem with biology, we would not make distinction between who is who. Everybody would be known for what they are worth. Whether somebody is male or female would be irrelevant. The whole exploitation of women starts once you cannot accept the fundamental differences between a man and a woman. You do not have to make biology sacred, nor do you have to make it filthy. It is an instrument of life. Because of it, you exist. If you know how to live it without elevating it or making it ugly, it has a beauty of its own. The sensuousness that you experience in life is a chemical invitation for something that is not you to become a part of you. This is nature's way of instigating you toward a union or yoga. Though sensuousness is celebratory in its nature, it is discriminatory too. When two individuals are in a passionate meeting, the rest of the world is excluded or even obliterated. If the celebration has to last, your sensuousness or your passion has to become all-inclusive. If you are in a state of all-inclusive passion, we call this yoga. So denial is not the answer. Expansion is the only answer. And if you have not known the sensuousness of the life-giving breath that is on every moment of your life, how can you even begin to know any other kind. Experiencing the orgasmic nature of the breathing process is called Anapanasati Yoga, the yoga of incoming and outgoing breath. Anapana literally means in and out. Sati means female consort. So the reference here is clearly to orgasmic union. And so Anapanasati Yoga is a process that initiates you into a conscious and profound involvement with your breath and shows you how the simple incoming and outgoing breath can become a source of nameless ecstasies.